Sukadev Goswami said, after Lord Brahma had thus spoken, glorifying the Supreme Lord and deity in the universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never subject to death, like an ordinary living being, appeared from the womb of Aditi. His four hands were decorated with a conch shell, club, lotus, and disc. He was dressed in yellow garments, and his eyes appeared like the petals of a blooming lotus.
So here, this chapter describes Vamanadeva's appearance, how Vamanadeva was welcomed by the different people in the all over the universe, how Vamanadeva was named, his samskaras were performed, and then this chapter also describes that how Vamanadeva comes to the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj, and how he was received by the people over there, and how Bali Maharaj actually asked Vamanadeva that I am ready to give you anything. You ask me anything from me. That way this chapter ends. So Ittam Virinch, in the previous chapter, Lord Brahma had glorified Vamanadeva when he was in the womb of Mother Aditi. Ittam Virinchi Stuta Karma Virya. After Lord Brahma glorified the Lord's power, prowess, Stuta Karma Virya, Pradur Babuva Amritabur Adityam. The Lord, whose appearance is not subject to death, Pradur Babuva Amritabu. Amritabu means who is always deathless. That Supreme Lord, whose appearance is actually not subject to death, Amrita Bhur, and who has got lotus eyes, Nalina Yatekshana, whose lotus eyes and with lotus eyes and Pishanga Vasa and yellow garments appeared from the womb of Aditi. Pradur Babuva means he appeared from Aditi's womb, along with four hands, Chaturbhuja, and Shankha Chakran Gadan Padma. So we see that the Lord's divine appearance, you don't find any child appearing with all the ornaments and dress. But here the Lord is appearing with the ornaments and the beautiful Pitambara dress. So that is why Prabhupada very happily quotes this verse, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvataha. The Lord's appearance and activities are transcendental. So one must be very intelligent to understand the appearance and activities of the Supreme Lord. So, different purports is verse, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvataha. So here Divyam means transcendental and not simply celestial. Some people may say that, oh, Lord's appearance are activities are like the celestial human beings. No, here Divya means the transcendental. And evam yoveti tatvataha. Tatvataha means what? It means that faith, that one who actually has faith in the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities. One who knows this, one who knows with full faith. And in fact, such faith does not require any logical argument as proof. One simply has to put faith in the Krishna's words. Evam yoveti tatvataha. The word tatvata also means in truth, because the nature of Brahman is actually truth. So here Krishna explains that not taking evam yoveti tatvataha Chaktva Deham Punar Janma. It means a person does not take birth again. That means a person attains liberation. Different acharyas have given different purports. Some acharyas say that a person attains liberation even in this very lifetime. So like that. Next verse. Shyamavadato Jasharaja Kundala Twisol Twisholla
तुषोलच्छ्रीवदनाम्बुजपुमान् श्रीवत्सवक्षा बलयाङ्गदोल्लस किरीटकाञ्ची गुणचारुणूपुर
The body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, blackish in complexion, was free from all inebrieties. His lotus face, decorated with earrings resembling sharks, appeared very beautiful, and on his bosom was the mark of Sri Vatsa. He wore bangles on his wrist, armlets on his arms, a helmet on his head, a belt on his waist, a sacred thread across his chest, and ankle bells decorating his lotus feet.
So this is a description of the body of the Supreme Lord. The body of the Supreme Lord was pure or free from inebrieties. But that verse, which is a word which is used, that Shyama Avadatu. Avadatu means free from inebriety or pure. And it's blackish in complexion. His lotus face decorated with earrings resembling Makara. That means the sharks shone with luster, and he had the mark of Sri Vatsa, had a beautiful ankle bells, belt, sacred thread. Next verse further describes
Madhuvratavrata Vigushtayasvaya Virajita Srivanamalaya Hari Prajapater Veshma Tamasvarochisha Vinashayan Kantani Vishta Kaustuba.
An uncommonly beautiful garland of flowers decorated his bosom, and because of the flowers were extremely fragrant, a large group of bees making their natural humming sounds invaded them for honey. When the Lord appeared wearing the Kaustubh gem on his neck, his effulgence vanquished the darkness in the home of the Prajapati Kashyap.
So here it's explained that about the garland of Vamanadev. He had a very beautiful garland, and then there were a group of bumblebees. They were actually humming around that garland. It was extremely fragrant, and the bees were actually near that garland. They were making a nice humming sound. This way the Lord dissipated Vinashayan Kanta Nivishta Kaustubha Prajapater Veshma Tamasva Rochisha. He dissipated the darkness in the Kashyapa Rishi's room by his effulgence. The next verse describes that how everyone was happy when the Lord appeared.
Dishaprasedu Salilashayastada Praja Prahrishtarata Vogunanvita Dyaurantariksham Kshitiragni Jihva Gavo Dvija San Jagrushur Nagascha.
At that time, there was happiness in all directions, in the reservoirs of water like the rivers and ocean, and in the core of everyone's heart. The various seasons displayed their respective qualities, and all living entities in the upper planetary system, in outer space, and on the surface of the earth were jubilant. The demigods, the cows, the brahmanas, and the hills and mountains were all filled with joy.
So here we see that Disha Prasedu, in all the direction, there was happiness, salila shayastada, and in all the reservoirs of water, praja prahrishta ritavo gunanvita, all living entities became happy. Praja, all living entities, prahrishta, very happy. And ritava means all the seasons, gunanvita, displayed their respective qualities. And dyaur antariksham kshitiragni jihva, all living entities in the upper planetary systems, dyau, in the outer space, and Shriti, under the surface of the earth, were jubilant.
And Gavu, Dvija, Sanjakrushur, Nagascha, the Devatas, the cows, the Brahmanas, and the mountains were all filled with joy. The next two verses describe the day in which the Lord appeared and the constellation of his appearance. Shronayam Shravanad Shronayam Shravanadvadashyam Muhurte Bijiti Prabhu Sarve Nakshatra Taradya Chakru Tajjanma Dakshinam.
On the day of Shravan Dvadashi, the 12th day of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, when the moon came into the lunar mansion Shravan, at the auspicious moment of Abhijit, the Lord appeared in this universe. Considering the Lord's appearance very auspicious, all the stars and planets from the sun to Saturn were munificently charitable.
So Lord appeared on the Bhadra month, on the Dwadashi. That Dwadashi is called as Vijaya Dwadashi, Vamana Dwadashi. The moon was in the constellation of Shravana, and then he appeared in the nakshatra called as Abhijit. Anybody is there? Abhijit here? Somebody. Abhijit. And all the constellations and planets were generous. So Prabhupada writes in this purport, he talks about the point of how sun is closer to the earth than the moon. Whenever there is some opportunity, Prabhupada writes this. Among the planets, the first is Surya and not the moon. Then he says that in all the, even the days also, first comes Sunday and then comes Monday. So, apart from this, when the Lord appeared, the planets and stars became situated very auspiciously according to astrological calculations to celebrate the birth of the Lord. So one thing we find, this similar theme comes throughout the Bhagavatam, that the appearance of the Lord, it actually makes the everything auspicious, inauspicious things into auspicious things. Either the physical appearance or when a person becomes Krishna conscious, then even the most inauspicious situation turns into auspicious situation. Just like the story of Anga Maharaj. For a person, for a father to have a very bad son like Vena, is like a very inauspicious situation. Especially for a devotee or a good person, for him, because every good person, every dharmic person, every devotee wants the legacy to continue. He wants a son who will actually carry on the legacy. But when he gets a son who will be who is completely opposite to his nature, who is adharmic, it is such a embarrassing situation. It is such an inauspicious situation. But then, when Anga Maharaj took it in the positive spirit, and the most inauspicious situation turned into auspicious situation. That means like, he took it in the positive spirit in the sense that he felt that those people who have a good son, they are not so fortunate because they can get attached to their son. But those who have a bad son are the most fortunate because that helps one to detach oneself from the family life and take shelter of the Lord. And later Vena died, the Brahmanas churned the body of Vena. So it's explained, I think, Srinath Radhanath Maharaj explained. From that body of King Vena, who is the most inauspicious person, Prithu Maharaj was born. So the Brahmanas churned that body with the help of the mantras, and then Prithu Maharaj, the incarnation of the Lord, was born. So he said that when we keep the association of devotees and the holy names of the Lord as priority in all situations, then even the most inauspicious situation will turn into auspicious situation. It means like when we keep the holy names and the association of the devotees, that's what it means, that keeping the Lord in the center, then the inauspicious situation can be turned into an auspicious situation. So the Lord, whenever He comes, He makes everything auspicious.
These constellations are periodic. All that stars, sign, sun sign, whatever, they are all periodic in nature. Now this particular constellation, when the Lord was born, this may be repeated every time, na? So like, if you see every moment in this world, many people are born. So there may be many persons who are born in the same constellation. So how can one distinguish, means like, scientifically, if you see, astrologically, if somebody is born, like, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can be understood at which time he is born and all by connecting. So, every
there
time...
Many others may also be born. Like
yeah,
that.
Many others may also be born in the... Because it's like kind of a cyclic thing, periodic thing.
No, I think this will require little... Okay. I don't know the science of astrology. Maybe somebody who has a little science of astrology will be able to answer. But it's not... usually we find that in the sense that whenever the Lord appears, the constellations are something like unique constellations with which happens like once in a long lifetime. Those who are learned astrologers may be able to actually distinguish between that. Such constellations which usually don't occur only. So it requires, we can't say that, oh, it just happens. Like many people will also be taking birth like that. I think it will require some understanding of astrology, because you may think, oh, such constellation may appear any time, but I'm sure that if we study little deep the science of astrology, that maybe those things appear only once. Like for example, in that solar eclipse during that Kurukshetra war, even the scientists found that how such eclipse happens only once in a very rare, this one. Usually, there is an article which I read, I'm not remembering the details, but it's explained that sometimes when there is an eclipse or something, the number of days in a month gets reduced to maybe 29 or something like that. But it is very rare that when the number of days get reduced to 28 like that. Such situation is extremely rare. During that particular time, it's explained that we all just... There's the science of Nimitta Shatra about the omens foretelling the battle of Kurukshetra. Yeah, it is said... Vyasadeva himself is saying, I have seen 14 days in a paksha. I have seen 15 days and even a pakshas lasting 16 days also. But never before have I seen an Amavasya falling on the 13th day, and that too was during the same month when there were eclipses of both the sun and the moon. Eclipses falling during the missing tithis. And then Vyasadeva predicts, he says that this indicates that a great destruction is going to happen. Like that, there are certain details in the astrology. I'm just some other example which says that how particular events in astrology are like very rare, like Vyasadeva was mentioning. Those things indicate something. It could be some inauspicious situation of something, a great annihilation which is going to happen, or sometimes a very rare some very great auspicious person going to appear. Like that. So, unless we know the science of astrology, we can't easily say that, oh, these things must be happening cyclically. So it requires some knowledge of astrology. Dvadashyam Savita Tishtan Madhyan Dinagato Nrupa Vijaya Nama Saprokta Yasyam Janma Vidur Hare.
O King, when the Lord appeared on Dwadashi, the 12th day of the moon, the sun was at meridian. As every learned scholar knows, the Dwadashi is called Vijaya.
So that Dwadashi is Vijaya Dwadashi. Now the next five verses, 7 to 11, how different people welcomed Vamanadev is described over there. Shanka Dunduba Yonedur Mridanga Panavanaka Chitravaditra Turyana Nirgoshastumulobavat.
Conch shell, kettle drum, panavas, and anakas vibrated in concert. The sound of these and various other instruments was tumultuous.
Preetas chapsaraso nrityan Gandharva pravarajaguhu Tushtuvur munayo deva Manavaha pitarognayaha.
Being very pleased, the celestial dancing girls, apsaras, danced in jubilation. The best of Gandharvas sang songs, and the great sages, demigods, manus, pitas, the fire gods, offered prayers to satisfy the Lord.
Siddha Vidya Daragana Sakim Purusha Kinnara Charana Yaksha Rakshamsi Suparna Bhuja Gotama Gayantoti Prashamsanto Nityanto Vibhudanuga Aditya Ashram Padam Kusumai Samavakiran.
The Siddhas, Vidyadharas, Kimpurshas, Kinnaras, Charanas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Suparnas, the best of serpents and the followers of the demigod, all showered flowers on Aditi's residence, covering the entire house, while glorifying and praising the Lord and dancing.
So, we find that all these personalities, they were glorifying the Lord. So one thing we find here is that, when the Lord appears, He actually brings people together. Krishna appears to bring people together. Or we can say, when people are united, then the Lord appears. Like in the 10th canto beginning also, it is said that all the demigods went to actually... They went along with Mother Earth, Brahma, all the demigods. They went to offer prayers to the Lord. So why did everyone go together? Because collective prayer has a greater effect than the individual prayer. When everyone came together, then the Lord appeared. And Krishna's disappearance also. When did Krishna disappear? When the Yadus actually fought each other and killed each other. And then after that, Krishna disappeared. So symbolically speaking, that unity makes the Lord appear in this world, and disunity and quarrel make the Lord disappear. So even at the time of Krishna's appearance also, there is a description which says that, and Krishna appeared that time, all the demigods, they showered flowers upon the Lord. So one may wonder that when they showered flowers upon the Lord, the sages were thinking that, the demigods were offering flowers upon the Lord. Oh, we don't have anything to offer to the Lord. So then they showered the beautiful thoughts from their mind to the Lord. The word sumana. Sumana means flower. It also means thoughts. Or the mind. Or a good mind. So the demigods offered the sumana. That means they offered the flowers to the Lord. And the sages, they offered their thoughts to the Lord. And then the clouds were thinking, we neither can offer the flowers nor can we offer some thoughts like the sages. So the clouds, what they desired to make a thundering sound for the pleasure of the Lord. But then the clouds decided, but if we make a thundering sound, but already the Gandharvas and Apsaras, they are actually dancing and singing for the pleasure of the Lord. It might actually disturb their service to the Lord. So therefore, the clouds decided, let us make a mild sound. Let us make a thundering sound, but let us not roar loudly. And let us roar in a mild way, in such a way that people will be able to hear the songs of the Gandharvas. So that it will not disturb their service. Suppose somebody is singing and then another person starts playing mridanga in a completely different tone, this one. It will be like for others to hear that, it will be austerity for hear the kirtan. So therefore the musical instrument should be in sync with the singing. So anyway, what here we can see here is that how the clouds were so sensitive that they were actually in the mood of cooperation. They were not trying to pose themselves as supreme or something and better than the Gandharvas and Apsaras and other people. So they were in the mood of cooperation. So therefore it's explained that Mandam Mandam Jaladara, the 10th canto, 3rd chapter, the clouds were making mild sounds. So in this way, what we see, the common thing, whether Vamanadeva's appearance or Krishna's appearance, is that when the Lord appears, he actually brings people together. So therefore, the sign, when Krishna appears in the life of a person, the sign that Krishna has appeared in the person's life, or Krishna has appeared in the person's consciousness, the sign is that he cooperates with other devotees. That's what we find over here. Eleventh verse. Drishtvaditistam nijagarbha sambhavam param pumam sammudamapa vismita grihita deham nijayoga mayaya prajapatis chaha jayeti vismita.
When Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had appeared from her own womb, having accepted a transcendental body by his own spiritual potency, she was struck with wonder and was very happy. Upon seeing the child, Prajapati Kashyapa exclaimed, Jai, Jai, in great happiness and wonder.
So this verse describes the reaction of Kashyapa and Aditi on seeing the four-armed Lord. So they were really struck with wonder. So as usual, the word comes as Nija Yoga Mayaya. The Lord appeared by his spiritual potency. Grihita Tegam. That means he accepted a body, but actually he appeared in his eternal body. It is just for many times for conventional sake, it's explained that he accepted a body, but actually Lord appears in his eternal body.
Yattad vapur bhati vibhushanayudai avyakta chidvyakta chidvyakta madara yaddari బభూవతేనైవ సవామణోవటు సంపశ్యతోర్దివ్యగతిర్యతానట.
The Lord appeared in his original form with ornaments and his weapons in his hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, he nonetheless appeared in this form. Then in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a brahmachari just like a theatrical actor.
So here it's explained that Yattad vapur bhati vibhushana vibhushanaya ayudai. The Lord whose body is eternally endowed with ornaments and weapons, vibhushana and ayudai. Avyakta chid, who is and is invisible to the world, avyakta, but chid vyaktam, but who has a spiritual form, that Supreme Lord, adarayat means he assumed or he actually became visible. Adarayat Harihi. Then, in the presence of his parents, to please them, the Lord, like an actor, nata yata nataha, whose actions are hard to understand, sampashyator divya gatir, whose movements are wonderful, are very difficult to understand, he became a Vamana, who is a Vatu, a Brahmachari. So he appeared with the four hands, with the weapons, etc. But then when he appeared in order to please his parents, because he assumed the form of a small dwarf Brahmachari, because so that it will actually increase their Vatsalya mood. So here also the analogy of Yata Nataha. The Lord, like an actor with the great powers of yoga and whose actions are very difficult to understand, Divya Gati. He produces a body different from his original form, but does it so there is non-difference. So, just like an actor, actually, his original form is something, but then he changes a particular, he puts on particular garments and dress. So, similarly, Lord Vamanadeva also, he appeared in his 400 form, but then like an actor, he actually assumed the form of a dwarf Brahmana, dwarf Brahmachari. So, there are many verses in which the Lord's, this thing is compared to an actor. Kunti Maharani's prayer, what is that verse? Maya Javanika Channam Agyadokshajam Avyayam Nalakshyase Muda Drusha Nato Natya Daro Yata. Nato Natya Daro Yata. That's the verse. Any other verse? The Gajendra's prayer. Nayasya Deva Rishaya Padam Vidur Jantu punakor hati gantu miritum yata natasya kritibir vicheshtato duratya yanu kramanasam avatu. So nayasya deva rishaya padam vidu, neither the demigods nor the sages can understand you. Then what to speak of the unintelligent persons like the animals? Neither the And then, jantu punar hoti hati gant arhati gantu miritam. They can't actually, nor can they express you in words your actual position. Yata natasya kritibir vicheshtato. Yata natasya. That means, just like an artist on stage being covered by attractive dresses and dancing with different movements is not understood by the audience. Similarly, the activities and features of the supreme artist cannot be understood even by the demigods or great sages. Usually, when you see a drama, that so immediately identify that who is this person acting as a Ram or Krishna or Chaitanya? Immediately start identifying. But Krishna is such an actor that even after 5,000 years, even after thousands of years, that people think him to be an ordinary person. That is how, whichever role he takes up, he acts so perfectly, because he comes in a human form, people still consider him to be a human form, a human being, an ordinary person. Yeah, when you see a drama, maybe sometimes immediately you may not realize that person, but after seeing some time, oh, ye to hamara friend hai. After some time, you identify. But you never, but Krishna is such a person, even after 5,000 years, they actually people consider him to be an ordinary person. Yata natasya kritibir vicheshtato. Even the demigods and sages, even they can't understand his position. Nor can they express in words his actual position. Next verse.
Tamvatum vamanam drishtva modamana maharishayaha karmani karayamasu puraskritya prajapatim.
When the great sages saw the Lord as Brahmachari dwarf, Vamana, they were certainly very pleased. Thus they placed before them Kashyap Muni, the Prajapati, and performed all ritualistic ceremonies such as the birthday ceremony.
So they performed the samskaras for the Lord Vamanadev. Prabhupada particularly points out that the samskaras like Jata Karma, Namakarana, and even the Upanayana Samskara, they were all performed. Usually Upanayana Samskara is performed later, after some years. But in the case of Vamanadev, even the Upanayana Samskara was also performed immediately. So we find that giving the proper samskaras to the children, it is one of the important responsibility of the parents. I think I discussed it previously also, samskara versus value education. We discussed this point. Samskaras increase the capacity of a person to learn. It creates strong culture. And value education, it simply increases the content. Vedic culture is about actually creating the proper samskaras. So, but in the Vedic education, Vedic culture, they create the proper samskaras. But in the Western education, they are mainly concerned about the value education, but they are not concerned about the proper samskaras. So if a person is born with a bad samskara, even if you give so much of value education, it will not transform that person. That's what happened in the case of Anga Maharaj. Gave a lot of education to the Vena. He tried to correct him through words and then punished him also. But because Vena was born with a bad samskara, it's not possible to change him. But whereas Prahlad Maharaj was born with a good samskaras, he had the association of Narada Muni when he was in the womb. So therefore, all the bad value education given by Chandra Namarka did not make any effect on him. So therefore, samskaras become so important. When Krishna was, before Krishna was born, the first children, first child, second child, six children were born. Vasudev, after they were born, even though he was there in the prison, even though he knew that he had to hand over the child to Kamsa, but still, he would first perform the Namakarana Samskara in the prison house, and then he would take the child to Kamsa. So, you know that when you know that this child is going to be killed, one may think that, oh, anyway, then why do I need to actually perform the Samskara or something like that? But still, Vasudev, as a dutiful father, he performed the Namakarana Samskar. So these samskaras create strong impressions. So therefore, and the speciality of Vamana Dev is that even the Upanayana Samskara was also performed immediately. So then, the next four verses, 14 to 17, describe the different gifts which were given to Vamana Dev by different demigods. Tasyopaniya manasya Savitrim Savitabravit Brihaspatir Brahma Sutram Mekalam Kashyapodadat.
As the sacred thread ceremony of Vamandev, the sun god personally uttered the Gayatri mantra, Brihaspati offered sacred thread, and Kashyapa Muni offered straw belt.
We see the sun god uttered Gayatri mantra. Brihaspati offered the sacred thread. Kashyapa offered a straw belt. Datau Krishna.
Good question.
Yes, sir.
In case of Vena, why Anga didn't give him sanskars all?
He was born from his mother's character was bad. So therefore, the story is explained that Anga was a very good person. But his wife Sunita, she was not having a very good character. She was the daughter of Mrityu. So therefore, daughter usually gets the qualities of the father. The son gets the qualities of a mother. So sometimes, that's why in a marriage is always performed not between two persons. Marriage is performed between two families or two dynasties. In the Ramayana, the marriage of Ram and Sita, if you read the description, so there is a description of they would describe the dynasty of Janaka Maharaj, another person will describe the dynasty of Dashrath Maharaj. So there are two dynasties or two families coming together. Therefore, there is always before marriage, they would not simply see the person, they would see the whole dynasty. But in this case, the Sunita was actually, she was coming from the dynasty of Mrityu. So therefore, the son also had the quality of the mother. So, in that sense, whatever the bad samskaras, maybe she didn't perform the samskaras like that. Prabhupada explains the importance of samskaras in those purport. And he also tells the Vena assumed the character of the mother.
Besides the 10 important sanskars, any quality you inherit from your parent is also called sanskar?
No, somebody may have the quality, but then if by birth a person may have something, but that can be changed if a person follows the process. By birth a person is coming from a particular family, but then if a person follows the proper by association of the devotees, a person follows certain things, then that can be changed. But in this case, Sunita, it's not described that she took to some spiritual life or she took to some other this one. So therefore, she didn't transform herself. So therefore, same whatever her character that got transferred to the son.
About the different incarnations, we see that, like, for example, Narasimha Dev. So, there the Lord has some specific purpose, like, because of the what the Hiranyakashipu said, yes, like, neither human nor neither animal. So here we see that Vamandev as a dwarf. So, what is the specific purpose of being a dwarf? Incarnation, like
the specific purpose here. The purpose of this incarnation is especially to give back the kingdom to the demigods. That's why he's going to As a brahmachari, he can only beg.
So therefore,
he is going to beg Bali Maharaj and then get back the kingdom to the demigods.
Because I was just thinking, because that could have happened with the normal incarnation also, with the, I mean, not dwarf, a normal height, you can...
Achcha.
A dwarf.
Okay. Lord is teaching many things. You'll see that, he'll say that, when he is going to teach the lesson on satisfaction and not trying to accumulate more than which is required, because he will ask that, I just want 3 steps of land according to the measurement of my legs. When Bali Maharaj is ready to give anything, just asking for 3 steps of land according to the measurement of his legs, it seems humbly ridiculous. When the Lord is teaching the principle that one should not actually desire more than that is necessary. So, sometimes in order to teach a particular lesson, it becomes very strikingly clear when you also have a particular role. Because as a dwarf, when he is asking that, already he is so small, and then asking for 3 steps according to the measurement of his leg, then that lesson becomes even more strikingly clear. If you had come in a normal form, just like we say, Prabhupada went to the West in the 70 years. So I think in conversation, Prabhupada or some devotees mentioned that because Prabhupada came at the age of 70 years, so we are able to appreciate Prabhupada even more, that at an old age went and established Krishna consciousness. He could have gone before also, but we may not have the same appreciation. Sometimes certain lessons become very strikingly clear in a particular role. Okay. Dadau Krutan, 15th is over. 15th, yeah. Dadau Krutan Krishna Jinam Bhumir Dandam Somo Vanaspatihi Kaupina Chadanam Mata Dyauchatram Jagatapate.
Mother Earth gave him a deer skin, and the demigod of the moon, who is the king of the forest, gave him a Brahmadanda, the rod of a brahmachari. His mother Aditi gave him cloth for underwear, and the deity presiding over the heavenly kingdom offered him an umbrella.
Yeah, these are all different gifts. Next to us. Kamandalum Vedagarbha Kushan Saptarshayo Daduhu Akshamala Maharaja Sarasvatyavyayatmanaha.
O King, Lord Brahma offered a water pot to the inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead. The 7 sages offered him Kusha grass, and Mother Saraswati gave him a string of Rudraksha beads.
Tasma yityupanitaya yaksharad patrikamada biksham bhagavati saksha umadadambikasati.
When Vamandev had thus been given the sacred thread, Kuvera, king of Yakshas, gave him a pot for begging alms, and Mother Bhagavati, the wife of Lord Shiva and most chaste mother of the entire universe, gave him first alms.
So Vamanadev had thus been given the sacred thread. Kuvera gave him a pot for begging alms, and a chaste mother Uma gave him the alms. We had observed that the Upanayana ceremony, that the boy is told to beg, the us, actually all the ladies come and actually give the alms. So the first alms were given by Parvati. Bhavati Bhiksham Dehi, like that. It's not Bhavati Bhiksham Dehi means a person actually begs from the women, from the mothers. So the next verse describes the effulgence of Vamanadev. Sa Brahma Varchasenaivam Sabam Sambhavito Vatuhu Brahma Rishigana Sanjushta Atya Rochata Marishaha.
Having thus been welcomed by everyone, Lord Vamandev, the best of the brahmacharis, exhibited his Brahma effulgence. Thus he surpassed in beauty that entire assembly, which was filled with great saintly brahmanas.
So this verse describes spiritual effulgence. Recognized by his spiritual effulgence as a brahmachari, the best of the brahmacharis, Brahma Rishi Gana Sanjushtam, surpassed the assembly of the great sages and made it look glorious. So he was honored by his spiritual effulgence. This means that everyone recognized him as a brahmachari. So now the next, before the next section, the next verse. Samiddhamahitam vakshnim kritva parisamuhanam paristirya samabhyarchya samidbirajuhodvijaha.
After Lord Shri Vamandev set a sacrificial fire, he offered worship and performed a fire sacrifice on the sacrificial field.
So after Vamanadev kindled a sacrificial fire, heaped the ingredients and performed worship, he performed a sacrifice by offering wood. Then after that, immediately we can see how Vamanadev is focused on his mission. He immediately goes to Bhrigu Kacha, the place where Bali Maharaj is engaged in performing the Ashwamedha sacrifice. Like last week we discussed that after becoming a doctor, a person starts studying for the degree. So something like that. So Bali Maharaj occupied the post of Indra and then he started performing the Ashwamedha sacrifices. So Bali Maharaj is performing the Ashwamedha sacrifices and then there Vamanadev goes. So Vamanadev is so focused on his mission. This also we find that that when the Lord comes, he has a particular mission. So many times when we are surrounded by some loving devotees or other God brothers or something, they do not actually allow one to perform the mission which involves certain austerities, etc. But the Lord actually is focused on his mission. Like whenever we find when sometimes, like when Krishna was also, when he appeared, he was in Vrindavan, then Narada Muni comes and reminds Krishna. 10th canto, I think 34th or 36th chapter, one of them. Narada Muni comes and reminds Krishna that, you are absorbed in this pastimes in Vrindavan. Oh, you are supposed to come to Mathura and kill Kamsa and many other demons. Have you forgotten all those things? And then Krishna comes actually. And even when he comes to Mathura, Akrura and Kubja, after Krishna straightens Kubja requests Krishna to come to her house. Akrura also requests him to come to his house. But Krishna does not go immediately. Krishna is focused on the mission of killing Kamsa. And it's not that in the name of focusing on the mission, he became angry with Akrura Kubja. He accepted the request. He said, I will come. And then, he went on this mission. So Krishna does not allow, the Lord does not allow even the loving relations to divert him from his mission. How even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also As a sannyasi, he had to travel and preach. He was focused on that mission of establishing Yuga Dharma. But although Gadadhar Pandit or Sarvabhum Bhattacharya, when he was leaving South for South India, Sarvabhum Bhattacharya, he actually became unconscious. But Mahaprabhu did not even turn back to see that, oh, what happened to Sarvabhum Bhattacharya? Has he died or something? He did not even turn back, not even a single drop of tear or something. He just went on with his mission. So, and even Gadadhar Pandit also, when he was going to Vrindavan. So, we see that how the Lord is focused on the mission. Even in the fight with Jarasandha also. Jarasandha, Krishna killed all the armies of Jarasandha. And then he could have killed Jarasandha also. But then he did not kill Jarasandha. Because he was focused on the mission. How? Because he felt, oh, Jarasandha is a good person. He will bring together all the demoniac people. So I can use Jarasandha as an instrument to kill all the demoniac population. So Krishna does not allow his loving relation with his devotees to divert us from his mission. That is why he did not immediately go to Akrura's house and Kubja's house. And Krishna does not allow his personal enmity towards a demon to divert us from his mission. That is why he did not kill Jarasandha. He just wanted Jarasandha to bring more and more people. So that focus on the mission, that is important. So here also Vamanadev, like immediately he went to leave for Bhrigu Kachya.
Shrutvashvamedair yajamanamurjitam balim bhrugunamupakalpitaistata jagamatatra kilasara sambruto bare nagam sannamayan pade pade.
When the Lord heard that Bali Maharaj was performing Ashwamedh sacrifices under the patronage of Brahmanas belonging to the Bhrigu dynasty, Supreme Lord, who is in full in every respect, proceeded there to show his mercy to Bali Maharaj. By his weight, he pushed down the earth with every step.
So, Akila Sara Sambhruta, the Supreme Lord with the essence of all creation, or the Lord who is full in every respect, or who is full of qualities like discrimination, patience and learning. So these are the different meanings of Akila Sara Sambhruta. So Lord immediately proceeded there to show his mercy to Bali Maharaj. So when he was walking, he was actually pushing down the earth with his every step. So we can imagine, although he was the power of the Lord who appeared as a small dwarf Brahmana. This also becomes, as a dwarf Brahmana, when he is able to push down the earth, then we can, that creates really wonder in the minds of the people. Next verse.
Tam narmadaya stata uttare balir yorit vijaste bhrigu kachya samyake pravartayanto bhrigavakrata kratuttamam vyachakshataraduditam yataravim.
While engaged in performing the sacrifices in the field known as Bhrigu Kachya, on the northern bank of Narmada River, the Brahmanical priests, the descendants of Bhrigu, saw Vamandev to be like the sun rising nearby.
So Vamanadev was like a rising sun, he was standing nearby. So next verse describes that how everybody was robbed of their splendor when they saw Vamanadev.
Te ritvijo yajamanas sadasya hatat visho vamana tejasanrupa surya kilayat yutava vibhavasu sanat kumaro tadidrikshayakrato.
O king, because of Vamanadev's bright effulgence, the priest along with Bali Maharaj and all the members of assembly were robbed of their splendor. Thus they began to ask one another whether the sun god himself, Sanat Kumar, or fire god has personally come to see the sacrificial ceremony.
So they started thinking, speculating, is he sun god, or is he a Sanat Kumara, or is he a fire god, by seeing his effulgence. So when they were speculating like this, Vamanadev entered the sacrificial arena.
Ittam sa shishyeshu bhrugushvane kada vitarkyamano bhagavansa vamana chatram sadandam sajalam kamandalum vivesha bibhradaya medavatam.
While the priests of Bhrigu dynasty and their disciples talked and argued in various ways, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadev, holding in his hands the rod, the umbrella, the water pot full of water, entered the arena of Ashwamedha sacrifice.
So Vamanadev entered with his, along with his kamandalu, umbrella and a pot full of water. So three things were carried by Vamanadev: rod, a brahmachari rod, umbrella, and a pot full of water.
Maunjya mekala yavitam upavita jinottaram jatilam vamanam vipram maya manavakam harim pravishtam vikshya bhrigavaha sasishyaste sahagni bihi pratyagrikshnan samuttaya sankshiptastasya tejasa.
Appearing as Brahmana boy, wearing belt of straw, a sacred thread, an upper garment of deer skin, and matted locks of hairs, Lord Vamanadeva entered the arena of sacrifice. His brilliant effulgence diminished the brilliance of all the priests and their disciples, who thus stood from their seats and welcomed the Lord properly by offering obeisances.
So all of their effulgence was diminished, and then they stood up along with their disciples to welcome Vamanadev. So Maya Manavakam, that is the word which is used here. Maya Manavakam Harim. So Maya Manavakam means that it can refer to the Lord Swarupa Shakti here. So Lord is endowed with his eternal Swarupa Shakti. Next four verses describe how Bali Maharaj receives Vamanadev.
Yajamana Pramudito Darshaniyam Manoramam Rupanu Rupa Vayavam Tasma Sanamaha Tasma Asana Maharat.
Bali Maharaj, jubilant at seeing Lord Vamanadev, whose beautiful limbs contributed equally to the beauty of his entire body, offered him the seat with great satisfaction.
So we find a traditional welcome. First we offer a seat and then offer some sweet words. Swagatam, and then you offer some argya, padya, water for washing the feet, and water for refreshing him, and then some for cleansing the mouth, and madhuparka. So those things were done.
स्वागतेनाभिनन्द्यात पादौ भगवतो बलिः अवणिज्यार्चयाणास मुक्तसङ्गमनोरमम्.
Thus offering a proper reception to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always beautiful to the liberated souls. Bali Maharaj worshipped him by washing his lotus feet.
So the beautiful word here is that Mukta Sangha Manoramam. The Lord who is beautiful to the liberated souls, also is worshipped or attractive even to the liberated souls. So what is the verse? Atma Ramas Chamunayo Nirgrantha Pyurukrame. Kurvantyahetukim bhaktim ittam bhuta gunohari. Prayena munayo rajan. Nairgunyastasma. The second canto, first chapter verse. Even the great munis are also attracted to the Lord. Next verse.
Tatpada shaucham janakalma shapaham. Sadharma vinmurdya dadat sumangalam yad deva devo girishas chandra mauli dadara murdna parayacha bhaktya.
Lord Shiva, the best of demigods, who carries on his forehead the emblem of moon, receives on his head with a great devotion the Ganges water emanating from the toe of Vishnu. Being aware of religious principles, Bali Maharaj knew this. Consequently, following in the footsteps of Lord Shiva, he also placed on his head the water that had washed the Lord's lotus feet.
So very beautiful verse, very nice points in the purport. So Bali Maharaj, who is actually Sadharmavit, he is aware of the religious principles. That Bali Maharaj, Murdni, he placed on his head, Murdni Adadat. What did he place? Tat Pada Shaucham, the Charanamrit, the water which washed the feet of the Lord. And what is the nature of that water? Jana Kalma Shapaham, which actually destroys all the sins. And not only it destroys all the sins, yad deva devo girishas chandra mauli. Even Lord Shiva, who is a chandra mauli, who is having a moon in his forehead, he carries that on the top of his head. Dadara murna parayacha bhaktya, with great devotion. Though Lord Shiva carries the moon on his forehead, but he gives the supreme respect to the Lord by carrying the Ganges, the Charanamrit of the Lord, even on top of the moon. Above that, he keeps the Charanamrit above the moon. This shows that Lord Shiva gives supreme respect to the Lord. So what is that verse from the third canto? Meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord. Yash shaucha nishrita sarid pravarodakena Tirtena Murdyadikritena Shiva Shivobhut Dhyaturmana Shamala Shaila Nisrishta Makshnu Dhyaye Chiram Bhagavata Charanaravindam. Kapila there describes about meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. Says that one should meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord, whose foot wash makes even the all auspicious Lord Shiva even more auspicious. If a contact with the lotus feet of Supreme Lord can make even the all auspicious Lord Shiva even more auspicious, then what to speak of others?
It is said that Ganges descended into this universe only when after Vamandev pierced the universal covering. But here it is described already Shiva has Ganges on his forehead.
This is an eternal... from a time perspective it may be there, but then it's an eternal pastime, Vamanadev's thing. Ganges descended into this world,
But we'll be referring to the previous day of Brahma.
It stayed until Bhagiratha requested Ganges to descend into the material world. So it was there in the Swargaloka only, Brahmaloka, that area.
Yeah, but he's referring to that Lord Shiva, after that Lord Shiva took that, but then we'll be referring to the previous Kalpa. There also Amanadeva appeared, so that time Lord Shiva must have taken the Ganges water. In that sense, Lord Shiva is known as, he always carried the Ganges. But here we may not focus on that particular, how is it that, here the point here is that Shukrite Goswami is emphasizing is that he's comparing, he's just making that point that Bali Maharaj plays the Lord Charanamrit by taking example that how even Lord Shiva carry the Charanamrita of the Lord.
Comparing the analogy between Lord Shiva and Bali Maharaj.
The Prabhupada's point here is that Bali Maharaj is trying to follow in the footsteps of Lord Shiva. Because Lord Shiva gave the supreme importance of Charanamrita of the Lord. So Bali Maharaj is following Lord Shiva. So one becomes a Mahajan by following another Mahajan.
So in this particular universe, that Bali Maharaj had Charanamrita on the head when compared to Lord Shiva, here in this universe.
Charanamrita, in the sense, whenever you bathe the Lord, you get Charanamrita. In the sense, there's another broader principle Prabhupada says is that when you offer and any water which has washed the lotus feet of Supreme Lord, the deity of the Lord, that is Ganges water. So, of course, the direct when the Lord appears, Ganges appears. But then, the point here is that Bali Maharaj followed in the footsteps of Lord Shiva, and by following the footsteps of one Mahajan, then another person also becomes a Mahajan. So, three points are essentially mentioned in this purport. How Lord Shiva gives supreme respect to the Charanamrita of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Second is that one becomes a Mahajan by following another Mahajan. And the third point is that any water which has washed the feet of the Lord is also the Ganges water.
Shri Bali Ruvacha Swagatam Te Namastubhyam Brahman Kim Karavamate Brahmarishinam tapasakshan manye tvaryavapurdaram.
Bali Maharaj then said to Lord Vamanadeva, O Brahmana, I offer you my hearty welcome and my respectful obeisances. Please let us know what we may do for you. We think of you as a personified austerity of the great Brahmana sages.
So, Bali Maharaj is glorifying Vamanadeva and asks, how can I serve you?
Adhyana pitarastripta Adhyana pavitam kulam Adhya swishta kraturayam Yadbhavanagato gruha.
Oh my Lord, because you have kindly arrived at our home, all my forefathers are satisfied. Our family and entire dynasty have been sanctified, and the sacrifice we are performing is now complete because of your presence.
Adhyagnayo me suhuta yata vidi dvijatma jatvacharanavane janai Hatam haso varbiriyam chaburaho Tata punita tanubippadaistava.
O son of Brahmana, today the fire of sacrifice is ablazed according to the injunctions of the Shastra, and I have been freed from all the sinful reactions of my life by the water that has washed your lotus feet. O my Lord, by the touch of your small lotus feet, the entire surface of the world has been sanctified.
So, Bali Maharaj is glorifying Tata Punita Tanubi Padaistava. The entire universe, world has been sanctified by simply by your lotus feet. Next verse.
Yad yad vato vanchasi tat pratichame. Tvamartinam viprasutanu tarkaye. Gam kanchanam gunavaddama mrishtam. Tatanapeyam utava viprakanya. Graman samriddham sturagan gajanva. Ratam statarhattama sampraticha.
O son of Brahmana, it appears that you have come here to ask me for something. Therefore, whatever you want, you may take from me. O best of those who have worshipable, you may take from me a cow, gold, a furnished house, palatable food and drink, the daughter of a Brahmana for your wife, prosperous villages, horses, elephants, chariots, or whatever you desire.
Yeah, we'll just take a break now and we'll continue from the next one. Iti vairochaner vakyam
dharma yuktam sasunratam nishamya bhagavan prita pratinandyedamabravit.
Sukadeva Goswami continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vamanadeva heard Bali Maharaj speaking in this pleasing way, he was very satisfied. For Bali Maharaj had spoken in terms of religious principles. Thus Lord began to praise him.
So here we see that the Supreme Lord heard Bali Maharaj speaking words of Dharma. Dharma yuktam sasunrutam. Bali Maharaj spoke exactly according to Dharma. So Lord became very pleased. So the words and actions performed according to Dharma, it pleases the Lord. Now in the next 16 verses, Vamanadeva would actually praise Bali Maharaj's dynasty. And then that he would say that I just beg for 3 steps of land according to the measurement of my legs. So he praises the Bali Maharaj's dynasty.
Vachastavaita janadeva sunrutam kulochitam dharmayutam yashaskaram yasya pramanam brugavasamparaye pitamaha kula vriddha prashantaha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O King, you are indeed exalted because your precedent advisors are the Brahmanas who are descendants of Bhrigu, and because your instructor for your future life is your grandfather, the peaceful and venerable Prahlad Maharaj. Your statements are very true and they completely agree with religious etiquette. They are in keeping with the behavior of your family and they enhance your reputation.
Very, very important words spoken by Vamanadeva. So Vamanadeva is saying that he is talking about 4 qualities of the words spoken by Bali Maharaj. Your words are truthful, janadeva soon ritam, and your words are according to dharma, dharma yutam. And it is actually befitting his family, kulochitam and yashaskaram. It actually, the words you spoke, it actually enhance your reputation. These are 4 qualities of the words spoken by Bali Maharaj. And then he says that, fortunate is a person who has got good advisors in his life, who has got good guides in his life. And you are very fortunate because you have got good advisors for guiding you in this life, and you have got good advisors for guiding you for your next life. Who are the advisors for guiding you in this life? That means that guiding you in this life means the advisors for dharma, artha and kama. Moksha is the otherworldly goal. So you have got the advisors in the form of the descendants of Bhrigu Maharaj, the Shukracharya, that they are guiding you in the path of dharma, artha and kama. And you have got the advisor in the form of Prahlad Maharaj, who is advising you for your next life, for he was advising you in the path of moksha, for your otherworldly goal. And then he also describes Prahlad Maharaj by the phrases, Pitamaha Kulavruddha Prashantaha. Pitamaha is your grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. Kulavruddha. Kulavruddha, he is your, that means like he is the most senior person, oldest in the family. And Prashantaha, he is peaceful. So Prabhupada brings out this point. The Prahlad Maharaj is the oldest. Usually when a person becomes old, he leaves the house and enters the vanaprastha life. We had discussed in the previously that one who continues to live in the household life even after becoming old, in that 7th canto 14th chapter, such a person is in the gross ignorance like that. But here Prahlad Maharaj is a great Mahajan. How is it he is so old but still living in the house? That is why he is advising Bali Maharaj. So Prabhupada says, that is why the word uses Prashantaha. He is peaceful. He is peaceful. That means that a devotee is always sober. He is not disturbed by the any conditions. Even if a devotee remains in the grihastha life and does not renounce material possessions, he should still be considered to be Prashanta, because of his pure devotion to the Lord. Because of his pure devotion to the Lord. This is a very important line. Because sometimes, Vanaprastha ashram, one has to follow that. Brahmachari Grahastha Vanaprastha. But then sometimes the situations in the material world will actually will create such a complicated situation. Sometimes a person may have to remain in the house, may have to, even after 50 years or 60 years, may have to take some responsibilities or something. Sometimes the situations may force like that. But advanced devotee, he'll be externally doing, but he's completely detached from within. He's completely detached from within. He's not affected by the external situation. Yeah, of course, ordinarily a person should try to get out, but then sometimes a person may be in that situation. He may be living in the house or he may be having some responsibilities, but then he may be completely detached from within. So we should not actually judge such a devotee, thinking that, oh, he's still involved in the responsibilities even though he's old, and then make some offenses against them. Therefore, this is an important purport. So therefore, Vedic scriptures are, they are not law-centric, but they are principle-centric. If you see the Abrahamic scriptures, they are very much law-centric. That means that Abrahamic scriptures, their words are very much focused on ordering a person. They mainly order, if you don't do this, you will go to hell. If you do, like that, very the tone of their instruction is only order. They are mainly law-centric. So many times people coming from that background, Judeo-Christian background, where the scriptures are mainly law-centric, order-centric. So when they come to Krishna consciousness, so sometimes in their presentation also sometimes that same tone comes. But when we teach Krishna consciousness and Vedic scriptures, we have to emphasize the principle. So what is the principle in the Vanaprastha ashram? The detachment is the main principle. Yeah, we should exhibit the detachment as far as possible externally also. But sometimes, as I mentioned, the situation in the material world, one may have to stay in the house, etc. So therefore, we should not misjudge such an advanced devotee who may be living in the house, thinking that, he is still attached or like that. So we have to understand that point. So, Abrahamic scriptures, they mainly give orders, they don't emphasize the principles. So here, that's why Prabhupada says, Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra kene nai, yei Krishna tatva veta sei guru hoi. That anyone completely aware of the science of Krishna, regardless of his status of life, is a guru. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is a guru in all circumstances. Although he is living in the house, even though he has become old. That's what Prabhupada is emphasizing here. And then, of course, we'll highlight this point later also. Vamanadev is, in this chapter, he is emphasizing how the sannyasis and brahmacharis should not ask more than necessary. So, of course, the main point, another important point in this verse is that Vamanadev is saying that in the case of Bali Maharaj, he is very fortunate because he has got good advisors who are going to guide him in Dharmartha and Kama and also in Moksha. Both of his advisors are Vedic authorities. For the path of Moksha, he is having a pure devotee, Mahajan, as the guide. For the path of Dharma, Artha and Kama, he is having a trained Brahmana coming in the dynasty of Bhrigumuni as the guide. So, we need guides for living in this world and also for leaving this world. So, many times what happens that we may have the guide for leaving this world. The guides for leaving this world is the pure devotees who are speaking from the Bhagavad Dharma, from the Srimad Bhagavatam. But for the guides for living in this world, many times we follow the materialistic model. The principle of living in this world is the following the system of Varnashram, who teaches based on Varnashram. But many times most of the time, people for living in this world, we follow a materialistic model and we follow Bhagavad Dharma for living this world. That creates an incompatibility. As we discussed many times, the lifestyle, it affects the path practice of bhakti. If we follow a materialistic lifestyle or a materialistic model for living in this world, it will affect the practice of bhakti. You may not see how it is affecting or something. But it does affect. So, that is why the Vedic scriptures, they give a wholesome program. They give a complete it is like a wholesome meal. In a meal, it is not that only a sweet is served. All the items are there, isn't it? So, Bhagavad Dharma is like the topmost sweet. But it is not that you give only Bhagavad Dharma to one who is about to die. But for a living person, you don't give only Bhagavad Dharma because you also have to teach him the right way of living which will be conducive for the practice of Bhagavad Dharma. So, it's not that giving only Bhagavad Dharma for a person who is not about to die, it is like giving only son papadi in a plate. If you give only the lunch is there, you may like son papadi, but then the lunch you just put only son papadi, some 15 son papadi in the plate, nothing else. And it will be like, first of all, you can't actually only eat only son papadi, it will cause only indigestion, your stomach will be upset, etc. So therefore, we need to actually give a wholesome presentation. So that is what is one thing many times lacking in even a spiritual organization. Like, we need to give a wholesome presentation. That is why Prabhupada emphasized many times that we need to teach people how to live in this world. We discussed that in the seventh canto also. Prabhupada said that You teach them how to live. You teach them, there should be a Varnashram college associated with every this one. Teach them how to live. Otherwise, how will we be able to understand our philosophy? Our philosophy requires a cool head. So it is a wholesome program. So that is why the Srimad Bhagavatam is especially focusing on the art of leaving this world, art of dying this world. Yeah, that should be taught to everyone. But yeah, for a person who is dealing with different situation in this world, we also have to teach how to live in this world. That is why Ramayana, Mahabharata, Gita, the roles become very much important. Because they give so many principles of the different situations. Because Pandavas, they went through different situations in their life. How they faced different situations. So all those things actually they become very relevant for a person living this world to apply those principles. So that is why we say it's not that Bali Maharaj had only Prahlad Maharaj as the guide. It's not mentioned he is having both the guides. He's not having only Prahlad Maharaj as the guide. He could be having only Prahlad Maharaj as the guide if he is maybe just in the last stage of life, because he doesn't need the Dharma, Artha and Kama. But he is having both the guides, and Vamanadeva is appreciating that. You have got good advices both for living this world and also for leaving this world. So therefore, you have to recognize the importance of the other scriptures like Mahabharata, Ramayana, Manu Samhita. Because they speak about mainly the Varnashram Dharma. But then you need that you need the lifestyle of Dharma. The lifestyle of Dharma is conducive for the practice of Bhagavad Dharma. So you have to understand the importance of these other scriptures and not fanatically just criticize those scriptures or something. Yeah, Srimad Bhagavatam is the highest scripture, but Prabhupada has emphasized many times about the importance of a pure lifestyle for the practicing the Bhagavad Dharma, for practicing bhakti with determination. So therefore, these other scriptures become important. So when we have a materialistic authority for living in this world, then it is like, suppose you are going in a river, you are going in a boat. So there are two boats are there. One leg is on one boat, another leg is on another boat. And each boat is going in different direction. So how long can you go like that? After some time, you'll be forced to take, you have to put both the legs on one boat actually. Otherwise, if you keep trying to put one leg on another boat, one leg on this boat, then you will actually, will just drown in the, because of that you'll be just get drowned in the river. But each will go in different direction and then you will just get drowned. So similarly, that if you keep following Vedic authority for the Bhagavad Dharma, for leaving this world, and materialistic authority for the living in this world, then it will create certain disturbance, even in the practice of Bhagavad Dharma. So we'll have to recognize that. So that is why we find many times, in the Dhruva Maharaj section it is explained, that success in this life means, when Suniti was speaking to Dhruva Maharaj, your grandfather Swayambhu Manu, by performing sacrifices, attained prosperity in this world and attained liberation in the next world. So Prabhupada says success, the definition of success means attaining prosperity in this world and liberation in the next world. That will come when you follow the Vedic authority for living in this world, and you follow the Vedic authority in the form of the Bhagavad Dharma for leaving this world to attain liberation. So therefore, this verse becomes very important. Another important point in this purport is that, so therefore, like some organizations, even if you study the history of Christianity, the earlier 16th century or 17th century, that time, and they were focusing only on the otherworldly dharma. When they were too much otherworldly, that led to so many problems in their Christianity, and that led to so many chaos. So those organizations which focus only on the when they become too much otherworldly, they become like irrelevant to most people. Only the old people attend their programs. Old people those are frustrated. They won't attend the program. They become irrelevant to the majority of the people, young people, etc. And those organizations which are only this worldly, they only focus on the art of living. Means like they don't have the substance. It is like, because ultimately, if you don't simply become attached to living in this world, you have to actually get out of this world. There's not a substance. So there has to be a balance of, you have to give a wholesome presentation, wholesome meal. So therefore, you need guides for living in this world, you need guides for leaving this world, and both should be the Vedic authorities. Vedic authorities. So another point here is that Prahlad Maharaj, we could ask like why Prahlad Maharaj himself could have taught the principles of living in this world. But he is only, Vamanadeva is saying that you have got the grandfather Prahlad Maharaj who is guiding you for your next life. He himself could have taught. Why did he actually focus on this one? Because the reason is that Prahlad Maharaj was very old now. So when a person is old, his focus is also only on moksha. His focus is only on moksha. So therefore, when he preaches to people, when he teaches people, it will inevitably be focused only on moksha. So Prahlad Maharaj was guiding him on the path of moksha for the next life, on the Bhagavad Dharma. And you need a person who is on the path of Dharma, Artha and Kama for teaching you for how to live in this world. That is why Shukracharya Grahastha, a Brahminical Grahastha, he is teaching him about how to live in this world, for this worldly guide. This is also an important point, because many times, that is why I mentioned previously the Gurukuls. Traditionally, the Gurukul is always run by the Brahminical Grahasthas. Because children, they are just beginning their life. They have to go through the path of like Dharma, Artha and Kama. They have to go through that path. Yeah, some people may choose to remain as Brahmacharis, but the children, they are young people, so therefore they need to be, the main people who are teaching them should be the Brahminical Grahasthas who are also in that path. So that is why sannyasis, they don't run the Gurukul traditionally. So that's why Prahlad Maharaj, you are just guiding him on the path of next life. He was not guiding Bali Maharaj on the path of Dharma, Artha and Kama. So this is another important point. And we will go to the next verse.
Question. As Bali Maharaj is having two different teachers here, one is speaking about moksha mainly, and other DAK. So isn't such a situation will create a confusion in the practitioner when he has two different teachers? One will say, like in future, Shukracharya will say that you follow this only. So that time it becomes very confusing situation.
Yeah, that is what this one. So that discrimination one should have. Yeah, that discrimination. Ideally, even the person who is teaching the Dharma, Artha and Kama should also be a devotee who knows the ultimate purpose. That is the ideal situation. Sometimes a person who is guiding you, who may be a Vedic authority, who may be guiding you on Dharma, Artha and Kama, he may not know the essence of the, he may not know the ultimate goal of life. But he may be a Vedic authority, but he may not know the ultimate goal of life. So therefore, you need to know when to follow this authority, when to follow that authority. That is what happened in the case of Bali Maharaj exactly. That Shukracharya told him, Shukracharya will see the later verses, what he spoke to Bali Maharaj is valid. But then, Vamanadeva is actually standing there. So that time, like when the Supreme Lord himself is there, you have to know, like Bali Maharaj chose, so in this situation, I can't follow the advice of this authority. I have to follow the advice of Prahlad Maharaj. Yeah, sometimes, even in an organization, sometimes we may have to take help from, there are other organizations who are actually having good principles in terms of how to raise children, about the principle of the samskaras, etc. Yeah, they may not know the ultimate goal of life. Their ultimate philosophy may be impersonalistic. It could be Mayavad, it could be tinged with the Mayavad, impersonalistic, etc. But at least, in regards to the principles of actually samskaras, training children, etc., they may have a very Vedic understanding. So we can learn from them. But you have to know that you should not actually learn the when they speak about some ultimate goal, some impersonalism, oh, this is something I have to avoid from them. For that, yeah, we have the Srimad Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's books. So that discrimination we should have. Are you getting this point? That yeah, sometimes, for example, we may go, even one may go and learn Sanskrit from others. But the person, Sanskrit teacher, he may not be a devotee. Like Nityanand Prabhu was saying that there was one teacher, Sanskrit. So that person, he said, he is so expert in Sanskrit grammar and other things, so sharp. But his philosophy, he says that his philosophy is so atheistic. Once he was telling him that, oh, why do we need to perform this Sandhya Vandanam and other rituals, all these persons are performing. So they are just performing so that they don't get the sin. But I don't mind. What if sin comes in my life? I just want to enjoy. Like he had a very materialistic, atheistic philosophy. But he is very sharp in Sanskrit. Yeah, sometimes situations may arise. But so that's why we have to be rooted in the Bhagavad Dharma. That when we have to learn from others, that we don't get diverted from their philosophy. But we just learn what is needed. That's ideally, a devotee should learn to teach. And many times the devotees are enamored by the Western principles for living. So then they don't follow the Vedic authority. So sometimes we may have to take help from others, but we have to know where to draw the line. So that is what in one sense exactly happened in the case of Bali Maharaj. So he knew where to draw the line. Oh, here I can't follow Shukracharya's instruction. The Shukracharya is advising him not to give charity. Yeah, is your point? No, Brahmachari ashram. Yeah, we are in one sense, we are not in the path of the Brahmacharis. Yeah, we are not in the path of Dharmartha and Kama. A person joins the Brahmachari ashram, yeah, many times wants to continue in that, is on the path of moksha. Of course, one may choose to get married also, that's another this one. But the point is that, especially for a grahastha, like children whom you have to train, they will later become. So they need the. It's not that you decide them. Oh, you have to be a brahmachari like that. No, children. When they after the training, they decide training the guru shastram. Then they decide actually. So therefore, that is why the teachers are brahminical grahasthas. So, but we are not into brahmacharis as well. We are not in the dharma, artha, and kama. We are in the path of. Mainly on the Nivritti Marga, path of moksha. So we don't. But the broader principles in terms of Vedic authorities for living, for example, say, principles for living in the sense that, say, our diet, our medicine, our lifestyle, etc., whatever is, we should follow the as far as possible. So the Vedic authority, like that. If he knows the Vedic principles, I don't know. No, since just because one is a devotee, it's many times, that's why I mentioned that. A devotee, he may be very good in Bhagavad Dharma, but then sometimes, many times, devotees, they are for, there are many devotees, as I mentioned, like there are many people who may be following the devotional service, Bhagavad Dharma, etc., but they are very much against that. They don't have the proper understanding of the Varnashram culture. They may be critical of that. There are many scholars also like that. So they may not know the importance of that. So therefore, best is a devotee guiding on both. That is why Prabhupada wanted devotees to learn and then devotees should teach. So that the unnecessary confusion doesn't happen. Yes. But sometimes, we need to take help from outside because when the devotees are not having the proper principles.
Prabhu, whenever there is some guidance I require in my spiritual life in Brahmacharya Ashram, I take guidance from my counselor. But whenever there are some family matters, so I approach some grihastha who knows intricacies in grihastha ashram. So he guides me in that specific situation. Something like that.
Yeah, correct. It's like Maharaj, as I give this example, a bird cannot know what a fish is going through. That's why. The Brahmacharya Sanyas, sometimes I may give some broader principle, but still for the some of the details and intricacies are involved in the grihastha ashram. So the grihastha counselors are there who guide them. Next verse, we'll go a little, we'll read together. Nakyetasmin kule kashchin nisatva kripanappuman pratyakyata pratishrutya yovadata dvijataye.
I know that even until now, no one taking birth in your family has been poor-minded or miserly. No one has refused to give charity to Brahmanas. Not after promising to give charity, has anyone failed to fulfill his promise.
So you say, Vamana Devi is glorifying so nicely, he's saying, there are no low persons in your dynasty. There are two types of low persons. One is that one who refuses to give charity. And second type of low person is that after promising to give charity, does not give charity. So both these types of low persons are not there in your dynasty. Nasanti tirte yudicharti nartita paran mukaye tamanasvinonrpa yushmat kule yad yashasamalena prakhrada udbati yatodu pakke.
O King Bali, never in your dynasty has the low-minded king been born who upon being requested has refused charity to Brahmanas in holy places or a fight to Kshatriyas on a battlefield. And your dynasty is even more glorious due to the presence of Prahlad Maharaj, who is like the beautiful moon in the sky.
So, Vamanadeva is saying there are two things which actually make your dynasty glorious. That one is that in your dynasty, the people in your dynasty have never refused to give charity to the Brahmanas, and they have never refused to give the charity of fight to the Kshatriyas. It's like they never refused to fight with the Kshatriyas. These two things he says, and then third thing also he mentions. And also your dynasty is so glorious because of the presence of Prahlad Maharaj. For three things make your dynasty glorious. Prahlad Maharaj shines like the moon in the sky. So you see, the quality of a Kshatriya is that he should never refuse to give charity and never refuse to fight. He never flees from the battlefield. Shauryam Tejo Dhritir Dakshyam Yudde Chapyapalayanam Danam Ishwara Bhavascha Kshatra Karma Swabhavajam. The qualities of a Kshatriya. Interestingly, the word Ishwara Bhava is used. Ishwara Bhava is used in the Kshatriyas. The same Ishwara Bhava is also mentioned with respect to the demoniac people. Ishwaroham Aham Bogi Siddhoham Balavan Sukhi. The 16th chapter. Demon considers, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. So here, Kshatriya also the Ishwara Bhava is used. But Prabhupada translates here, in the case of qualities of a Kshatriya, he says Ishwara Bhava, Prabhupada translates as leadership. Because here, in the case of a Kshatriya, his Ishwara Bhava is made subordinate to the principle of service to the Lord. Serving the Lord. Whereas a demoniac person, he himself thinks to be the controller. He takes the position of the Lord. So therefore, in the 18th chapter, when Krishna describes the Kshatriya, when he describes the word Ishwara Bhava, he describes dharmic people who strive to harmonize with God by living according to the principles of Varnashram. So such people, they use their quality of controllership. They dotail their quality of controllership in the service of the Lord. Whereas a demon is different case. He's actually against the Lord. So when the intention to serve is there, then the controlling mentality, which is reproachable, that reproachable controlling mentality becomes a respectable attitude. But when the intention to serve the Lord is not there, then the controlling mentality is condemned. And that is what Ishwaroham, Agam Bogi, Siddhoham, Balavan Sukhi. Then the next two verses, Vamanadeva glorifies Hiranyaksha in particular. Now he was glorifying in general. Now he is glorifying particularly different personalities. Hiranyaksha, and then Hiranyakashipu, and then Virochan. Yato jato Hiranyakshas charanekai maam mahim prativiram dig vijaye navindata gadayudaha.
It was in your dynasty that Hiranyaksha was born. Carrying only his own club, he wandered the globe alone. Without assistance to conquer all directions, and no hero he met could rival him.
So Hiranyaksha, he went to conquer all the directions. He did not find a suitable rival. It came previously in the third canto, I think 17th chapter. And then Hiranyaksha, how he went to the Varuna's abode and he challenged. And Varuna told him, Varuna or Narada Muni, they told him that, you go and approach Varahadev. Yam vinirjitya krichrena Vishnu shmodara agatam atmanam jainam mene tadviryam bhuryanusmaran.
When delivering the earth from the Garbhoduk sea, Lord Vishnu in his incarnation as a boar killed Hiranyaksha, who had appeared before him. The fight was severe and the Lord killed Hiranyaksha with great difficulty. Later, as the Lord thought about the uncommon prowess of Hiranyaksha, he felt himself victorious indeed.
So it's explained that Vamanadeva is saying that Lord Varahadeva killed Hiranyaksha with great difficulty. Krichrena. And then Lord Varahadeva, by thinking about the prowess of Hiranyaksha, he considered himself victorious. Considered himself victorious. Actually, Varahadeva killed Hiranyaksha like just by like इसे ना कान के नीचे बजाए ही जस्ट इनडिफरेंट when Hiranyaksha was indifferently struck by the Lord, he immediately collapsed like that. I saw that it is described there. But Vamanadeva is glorifying like that. One class Maharaj explained that that Lord knows how to insult in the best possible way. Like Hiranyaksha was fighting with the Lord, and ultimately Varahadeva killed him in a very without any effort only. It's like a big insult to a demon, actually. So, in the next 6 verses, 7 to 13, then Vamanadeva glorifies Hiranyakashipu. Yeah, it is like a, in the sense, because he's glowing, he's, before asking charity, one glorifies the person. He doesn't mean it exactly. He himself is the Supreme Lord.
निशम्य तद्वदं ब्राता हिरण्यकशिपुपुरा हन्तुं ब्रातृहणं क्रुद्धो जगामनिलयं हरे.
Where Hiranyakashipu heard the news of his brothers being killed, with great anger he went to the residence of Vishnu, the killer of his brother, wanting to kill Lord Vishnu.
So, when Hiranyakashipu, when he heard the news of Hiranyaksha's death, he went to actually... He wanted to kill Vishnu. He went to the residence of Vishnu. He went to the residence of Vishnu. Which residence of Vishnu? We discussed that one of the Manvantara avatars, Vikunta. So Vikunta, he had created the Vaikunta planet above Satyaloka. So Hiranyakashipu went to that particular place. To search for Vishnu.
Tamayantam samalokya shulapanim krutantavat chintayamasa kalagnyo Vishnur maya vinam varaha.
Seeing Hiranyakashipu coming forward, bearing a trident in his hand like personified death, Lord Vishnu, the best of all mystics and the knower of the progress of time, thought as follows.
Next verse. Yato yatoham tatrasau mrityu pranabhrutamiva atohamasya hridayam pravekshyami paragdrishah.
Wheresoever I go, Hiranyakashipu will follow me, as death follows all living entities. Therefore, it is better for me to enter the core of his heart, for then, because of his power to see only externally, he will not see me.
So this is what actually... Vamanadeva is telling that he is glorifying his dynasty. That's why he is saying that Lord Vishnu became afraid. So what Lord Vishnu started thinking that wherever I go, Hiranyakashipu will follow me. So therefore, in order to hide myself from Hiranyakashipu, let me enter into his heart. Because the demons... they only see externally, parag drishaha. Because they only have external vision, he will not see me if I enter into his heart. So this is a beautiful, this one, parag drishaha. That means this also, this one, the demons, they only have an external vision. It means like they look for happiness in the external sense objects. They don't see, they don't look within. But whereas the devotees, spiritualists, materialists are only seeking the external sense objects. But whereas a spiritualist is seeking happiness within. And what is the Gita verse?
Yonta sukontar aramas tatantar jyoti revaya sayogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhuto adhigachyati.
5.24. Yonta sukontar aramas. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is actually the perfect mystic. He is liberated the supreme, ultimately he attained the supreme. So materialism means that materialism, materialistic people, they are focused on gaining something external to them. They are focused on gaining something which has no intrinsic connection to them as the spirit souls. Yeah, we do need some basic material resources for our survival. But however, when we seek only material achievements, we often pursue things which are not our necessities, but we are pursuing those things which we desire, but which we don't need. So material things, they seem desirable not because they are actually innately related with us, but they are desirable because they are glamorized by different advertisements. Oh, you need it, you need that. They are glamorized in that way, therefore they appear to be very desirable. But actually, we don't need them. But on the contrary, in the case of a spiritualist, spiritual life focuses on gaining, focuses not on gaining something external, but on regaining something which is internal. Regaining something which is there within our heart. Regaining that. So what is there within our heart? That is the love for Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabuna. So spiritual life is focused on regaining something there which is there internal. But material life is focused on gaining something which is external. That is what Lord Vishnu thought, that the demons, they only have external vision. So if I go anywhere, he will be looking for me. He will find me. Therefore, let me enter into his heart. He will not actually look for me. So that is what he is saying. So, of course, even that verse in the 7th canto we discuss. Remember that example of deer? Yeah. Jalam tad udbhavas channam hitvagyo jalakamyaya mrigat trishnam upadave tata vanyatrat satah. So deer, because of ignorance, cannot see the water within a well covered by grass, but runs after the water elsewhere. So similarly, the living entity, the materialistic person, does not see the happiness within himself, but runs after the happiness in the material world. Next verse. Jalam tad, 7th canto, 13th chapter. Jalam tad udbhavas chinnam. So, next verse. Evam sa nischitya ripo shariram adavato nirvivishe surendra shvasa nilantar hita sukshma dehas tat prana randrena vivigna cheta.
Lord Vamandev continued, O king of the demons, after Lord Vishnu made this decision, he entered the body of his enemy Hiranyakashipu, who was running after him with great force. In a subtle body, inconceivable to Hiranyakashipu, Lord Vishnu, who was in great anxiety, entered Hiranyakashipu's nostril along with his breath.
So Vamanadeva is saying that Lord Vishnu became very anxious, and then he entered Hiranyakashipu's, he entered the body of his enemy through his nostril when his enemy breathed, when the enemy pursued him. So here it's explained that actually, logically speaking, Ishwara Sarvabhutanam Hriday Shayajanatrani, Lord is actually situated always in the heart of everyone. So logically speaking, it is no difficulty for the Lord to enter Hiranyakashipu's body. So Prabhupada says that Vivigna Cheta means that Lord Vishnu was very much anxious. He was fearful of Hiranyakashipu. But actually, Lord Vishnu's actual anxiety was not out of fear of Hiranyakashipu, but he was anxious as how to do welfare to Hiranyakashipu, how to act for his welfare. This is how the acharyas, they give the purport. And then, So Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains that the false statements by the Lord can also be true sometimes. Just like it's explained that Krishna told Yashoda Mai, I did not eat the dirt. Naham bakshitavan amba sarve mithyabhishamsinaha. I have never eaten dirt. All my friends are complaining against me are liars. The false statements can also be true. So similarly, saying this. Yeah, next verse.
Satanniketam parimrishya shunya mapashyamana kupito nanada shmam dyum dishakam vivaran samudran vishnam vichinvannadadarsha viraha.
Upon seeing that the residence of Lord Vishnu was vacant, Hiranyakashipu began searching for Lord Vishnu everywhere. Angry at not seeing him, Hiranyakashipu screamed loudly and searched the entire universe, including the surface of the earth, the higher planetary systems, all directions, and the caves and oceans. But Hiranyakashipu, the greatest hero, did not see Vishnu anywhere.
So Hiranyakashipu finds the abode of Vishnu vacant, and then he becomes angry, and then he screams loudly. And he searches everywhere, but he does not find Vishnu. So Jiva Goswami quotes this particular verse in his Bhagavad Sandarbha. What he tells is that he drives the point that how the Lord is not visible to the asuras. Lord's dhams or the personality of Godhead is not visible to the demoniac people. He says that how this abode of Vaikuntha was created by Lord Vikuntha. The Lord's abode remains invisible to the demons, even if they consider it to be ordinary. This is evident from the statement of Hiranyakashipu that, if you remember previously, the 7th canto also we had discussed, 7.3.11. 7.3.11. Kimanyai kala nirduta kalpante vaishnavadibihi. By dint of my severe austerities, I shall reverse the results of pious and impious activities. I shall overturn all the established practices within this world. Even Dhruvaloka will be vanquished. I don't know why he quotes this verse. Anyway, that... So, in that statement, he mentions that even Dhruvaloka will be vanquished at the end of the millennium, the 7.3.11. Even Dhruvaloka will be vanquished at the end of the millennium. Kalpante Vaishnavadibihi. Prabhupada translates as actually Dhruvaloka, but actually it refers to this Vaikuntha planet. Vaishnavadibi, with planets like Dhruvaloka or Vaikuntha Loka in the word-to-word translation. So, in this statement, he says that Vaikuntha Loka is also destroyed at the time of dissolution. That means what? That means Hiranyakashipu was unable to realize the real Vaikuntha. Therefore, Jiva Goswami drives the point, the holy abodes of the Lord like Vrindavan, which exist within the material world, remains covered by a layer of material energy. Hiranyakashipu could not see the Vaikuntha, that's what he's saying that. It remains covered by a layer of material energy. The non-devotees cannot penetrate this layer and see the real abode. So, Jiva Goswami points out that, he says that Hiranyakashipu, he went to Vaikuntha, but not seeing the Lord there, he became even more angry. Since Hiranyakashipu did not go beyond the coverings of the universe, the place he visited was the Vaikuntha manifest in the material world. That was actually made by the Lord Vikuntha. So it implies that one cannot attain the Lord simply by physical endeavor. Even if a person goes to the abode of the Lord, but if a person does not have the right attitude, he cannot actually see the Supreme Lord. although Hiranyakashipu was able to reach Vaikuntha, he could not see the Lord. So therefore, his reaching Vaikuntha is as good as not reaching Vaikuntha. So similarly, there are many unfortunate people who come to Vrindavan but do not appreciate that it is a land of Krishna's pastimes. So such people get no benefit of residing in the Dham, rather they become more and more fallen. Somehow, some of these foolish people think that they will get liberation by meeting death in Vrindavan. So such people want the benefit of the Dham, but without appreciation of the Dham. And that is their foolishness. So that's what Hiranyakashipu could not actually see the Lord. Next verse. Apashyan hiti hovacha mayan vishtam idam jagat bratruha megato nunam yato navartate puman.
Unable to see him, Hiranyakashipu said, I have searched the entire universe, but I could not find Vishnu, who has killed my brother. Therefore, he must certainly have gone to that place from which no one returns. In other words, he must now be dead.
So Hiranyakashipu's conclusion was that the killer of my brother, Bratruha me gatam noonan, he must have gone to the place from where nobody returns. That means like he must be dead. So he must be dead. That means he also means that here, after death, that is the end of the life. Nobody returns after death. So this is Prabhupada talks about the Buddhistic philosophy. He says that Buddhistic philosophy is that after death, everything is finished. Even today, many people follow the philosophy that God is dead. That Nietzsche, he said that God is dead. But actually, Prabhupada says even a living entity is eternal. Then what is it called? Supreme Lord. Na jayate mriyate va kadachin. How can we say that the living entity does not undergo this death? How can we, what is because Supreme Lord? Ajopisan avyayatma. Both the living entity and the Supreme Lord exist as unborn and inexhaustible personalities. So therefore, Hiranyakashipu's conclusion was wrong. The second paragraph, he comments on the word yato navartate puman. Actually, yato navartate puman, Prabhupada says the real meaning of the word yato navartate puman refers to the spiritual world. Because spiritual world is the only place where a person, once a person goes there, he does not return. So he applies this word to the spiritual world. Prabhupada explains that word. But Hiranyakashipu thought that he has died, Lord Vishnu is dead, has died. So therefore, after death, nobody actually comes back. So therefore, he has gone to the place from where nobody returns. So Prabhupada says, even a bhakta, even a devotee who understands the supreme nature of transcendental nature of the Lord, he does not take birth again. He goes to the spiritual world. But of course, if a bhakta is not completely perfect, he takes birth in the material world again, but in an exalted position of the the family of brahmanas, rich people. So Prabhupada explains that karmis, jnanis and yogis return to material world after death, but bhaktas don't. Only those bhaktas who are not perfect return to take birth in rich families or in families of great brahmanas. So Krishna, when he speaks the Buddhistic philosophy, he speaks in the second chapter. Ata chainam nitya jatam nityam va manyase mritam tatapitva mahabahu naivam shochitam argasi. 2.26. That even if you think that the soul is continuously born and always dies, Buddhistic philosophy, they said after death everything is gone. Still you should not lament. Even if you speak, even if you believe in the Buddhistic philosophy, still there is no need for you to lament. Next verse. Vairanubandha yetavan amrityoriha dehinam agyana prabhavo manyur akam manopa brahmhitaha.
Hiranyakashipu's anger against Lord Vishnu persisted until his death. Other people in the bodily concept of life maintain anger only because of false ego and the great influence of ignorance.
So very beautiful verse. It talks about the Hiranyakashipu's anger towards Vishnu. Usually when somebody is angry with the enemy, their anger remains for some time. And when the enemy is out of sight, sometimes the anger vanishes. As years progress, sometimes the anger vanishes, anger reduces. But in the case of Hiranyakashipu, he was angry till the point of death. He maintained his anger till the point of death. He says that it is due to the influence of ignorance, Hiranyakashipu, however, maintained his enmity and his anger against Vishnu until the point of death. So he never forgot his vengeful attitude towards Vishnu, that Vishnu has killed my brother. He never forgot that, so therefore he was completely absorbed in anger. But other people who are in the bodily concept of life, they are angry at their enemies but not at Vishnu. And even those people, they are not everlastingly angry. But Hiranyakashipu was everlastingly angry. And another point Prabhupada says that Hiranyakashipu was angry not just because of his false prestige, but because of his enmity towards Vishnu. It's like the anger was more because of the enmity towards Vishnu. That means there is a greater absorption in Vishnu out of enmity than because of one's own false prestige. Yeah, false prestige was there, but the enmity with Vishnu was, that was actually, that was so predominant emotion in his mind. Vishnu Chakotakur says that the anger of people in this world is not caused by such absorption in the enemy. Their anger is caused by illusion. The conception, I am a hero in the mind, even in the absence of real heroism, makes people think of themselves as heroes. And this conception increases. But however, absorption in the enemy is seen only in Hiranyakashipu.
Pita prakhrada putraste tadvidvan dvijavatsalaha
Your father Virochan, the son of Maharaj Prahlad, was very affectionate towards Brahmanas, although he knew very well that it was the demigods who had come to him in the dress of Brahmanas. At their request, he delivered to them the duration of his life.
So he glorifies, so far he glorified Hiranyakashipu. Now Vamandev glorifies his father Virochan. So then demigods approached them in the disguise of the Brahmanas, disguised themselves as the Brahmanas, and asked Virochan for his remaining lifespan. And Virochan, although knowing that these are demigods who have come in the dress of the Brahmanas, still he actually delivered to them the duration of his life. So now Vamanadev glorifies Bali Maharaj himself, 15th verse.
Bhavan acharitan dharman astito griha medibihi brahmanai purvajai shurai ranyai chodama kirti bihi.
You also have observed the principle followed by great personalities who are householder brahmanas, by your forefathers and by great heroes who are extremely famous for their exalted activities.
That you have also observed the actually great personalities, like that is glorifying. You also observed the principles followed by great personalities or household brahmanas, by your forefathers and by great heroes who are extremely famous for their exalted activities.
Tasmatvatto mahimishad vrineham varadarshabat padani trini daityendra sammitani padamama.
O king of the daityas, from your majesty, who come from such a noble family and who are able to give charity munificently, I ask only 3 paces of land to the measurement of my steps.
Yeah, here he says that I just ask for 3 pieces of land. Ultimately, he is asking for the measurement, that this will be enough for my subsistence, for I survive by taking whatever food is offered. So Vamanadev did not ask for anything more than necessary, which is very much highlighted in the Next verse purport. Nanyate kamaye rajan vadanya jagadishwarat naina prapnoti vaividvan yavadartha pratigrahah.
O king, controller of the entire universe, although you are very munificent and are able to give me as much land as I want, I do not want anything from you that is unnecessary. If a learned Brahmana takes charity from others only according to his needs, he does not become entangled in sinful activities.
So he says that a learned person taking only according to his needs, he gives a reason why he just wants only 3 steps of land. So when a person takes only according to his needs, then he does not become entangled in sin. So this purport is a very important purport. So Prabhupada explains here, a Brahmana or Sannyasi is actually qualified to accept charity from others. But if he takes more than necessary, he becomes punishable. So no one can use the one of the theme of Prabhupada's purport is that one should accept only that which is one's quota. No one should use more than more of the Supreme Lord's property than necessary. Isha Vasyam Idam Saram Yatkicha Jagatyam Jagat Tena Tyaktena Bunjita Magrida Kasya Swiddhanam. So by that, Vamanadeva was indirectly indicating Bali Maharaj that you are occupying more land than which is necessary. By his asking only 3 steps of land, he is indirectly indicating this. So then Prabhupada explains that in the material world, all the problems are due to extravagance. In fact, there are statistics. I don't know if you heard that. More people die because of overeating than because of malnourishment. Statistically also I've heard that. More people die because of heart attack, cholesterol, because of overeating than because of malnourishment. So all diseases are due to extravagance. One acquires money extravagantly and also spends it extravagantly. So everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. As the sons of the Lord, they have the right to use the Lord's property, but one cannot take more than necessary. And especially this principle should be especially followed by Brahmanas and Sannyasis, or Brahmacharis and Sannyasis, who are living at the cost of others. So this becomes very much important for the Brahmacharis and Sannyasis. So Vamanadeva is showing the ideal example of a beggar. As an ideal Brahmachari is, whichever role he takes up, he actually says the ideal example. But of course, there is a difference between his footsteps and those of an ordinary human being. So the Lord can, with his 3 steps, he can occupy anything. So now Bali Maharaj's reply. Shri Bali Ruvacha.
Question. From transcendental point of view, we understand that Bali Maharaj actually wants to take up the whole world. But from this Dharma Artha Kama Moksha perspective, what exactly he wants to do with 3 steps? I mean, he wants to do agriculture in that? Why is he asking 3 steps, and how only 3 steps is like sufficient according to his requirement? How does it indicate?
He just feels that I just need this much space. That is sufficient. He feels that.
For building home or something?
Home. As a Brahmachari, he doesn't build home. What exactly is going to do with the 3 steps? Maybe just sit there and do bhajan. Sitting and chanting. That's what I think. To build his bhajan kutir, maybe 3 steps. sitting and lying down. Shri Baliruvacha Aho Brahmana Dayada Vachaste Vridda Sammata Twambalo Balishamati Swartam Pratyabudoyata.
Bali Maharaj said, O son of a Brahmana, your instructions are as good as those of learned and elderly persons. Nonetheless, you are a boy and your intelligence is insufficient. Thus, you are not very prudent in regard to your self-interest.
So Bali Maharaj is saying that Vachaste Vridda Sattama Sammata. Your words are agreeable to the learned and elderly persons. Although you have spoken very nice words, but you are a boy with inexperienced intelligence. Balishamati. Swartam Prati Abudoyata. You are not aware of your self-interest. Just taking this verse in another light, you just literally say that means like you speak nicely. Whatever you have spoken is actually very nice philosophy, but still you are a boy with inexperienced intelligence. In one class, Maharaj explained that sometimes we give high instructions to others, but we don't know what is good for our self-interest or what is good for our spiritual life. So he said, we must understand that real knowledge is not simply speaking eloquently, but real knowledge is the capacity to discriminate what is favorable for our devotional service and what is unfavorable for our devotional service. So real knowledge is not based on how eloquently we speak, but the ability to discriminate what is anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjita. Similar way he is saying that you speak very eloquently, but you do not know what is good for your self-interest. So Prabhupada mentions in his purport that actually he agrees with the Balimara statement. Vamanade actually, he didn't have any selfish interest in approaching Bali Maharaj. Vamanadeva approached Bali Maharaj for the interest of the demigods and not for himself. So in that sense, Bali Maharaj's words are true only. So like that, Prabhupada is giving that. So acharyas always actually, they have a partiality towards the Lord and the devotees. And although the words may say something, means like, Bali Maharaj is telling that you are actually a foolish person. You don't know what to ask for. You don't know what is your self-interest. But the acharyas, whenever they give purports, because they have the partiality towards the sampradaya, the Lord and the devotee. So therefore, they try to say how it is actually glorified. They try to, they speak in terms of the glorification of the Lord. That they say that, oh, Vamanadeva, actually, yeah, he didn't approach the Bali Maharaj for his selfish interest. He approached for a selfless purpose. This is called the partiality of the sampradaya. It's like Madhvacharya, he has completely removed the Brahma Vimohan Leela only. In his Bhagavatam commentary. Because it's a partiality towards the Sampradaya Acharya. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Bhagavatam may say that Krishna disappeared from the gopis in order to, because he felt that gopis were proud. But if we read Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's purport, he will describe that how it's a transcendental pride, it's arranged by the Lord, like that. Because it's a partiality towards the gopis. Yeah, there's no fault in that. But that is the nature of this one, the Acharyas. But sometimes, we should not, we have to learn from the acharyas, but we should not actually, we should not forget the actual words of the text. Sometimes we focus more on the acharya's commentary and then we forget the actual words of the scripture. So we have to appreciate the mood of the acharyas, their partiality towards the Lord and Dekha, but we also have to remember the words of the text. No, last chapter, Bali Maharaj understood. Achha, that time whether he knew. Yeah, Bali Maharaj came to know. Comes, it is mentioned later also. In fact, whether at that time he knew or not, at least he came to know. Because Shukracharya tells that this is Lord Vishnu, he is going to come and he has come to take away everything. He came to know at that time or before, whatever it is. Bali Maharaj also tells in the 23rd chapter that which shows that he knew that Vamanadeva is actually Vishnu. Next verse. Mam vacho bis samaradya lokanamekameshwaram padatrayam vriniteyo buddhiman vipadashusham.
I am able to give you an entire island because I am the proprietor of the three divisions of the universe. You have come to take something from me and have pleased me by your sweet words. But you are asking only three paces of land. Therefore, you are not very intelligent.
So he is saying that you are actually unintelligent. Because you are just asking for three steps of land. After pleasing me with sweet words, though you are intelligent, you ask only three steps of land from me. Though I am the Lord of the three worlds, capable of giving the whole of Jambudvipa. So Dhruva Maharaj, when he approached the Lord, he called himself as the unintelligent because of approaching Krishna with material motives. Tvaddattaya vayuna yedam noonam vimushta matayas tava mayayate yetvam bhavapyaya vimokshana manya hetu archanti kalpakataram kunapopa bhogyam ichanti yats parshajam nirayepi ninam. Out of the four kinds of people, Artha, Artharthi and Jagyashu, he says, I am the lowest time because I am the Artharthi. I asked you for something material gain. So here, actually approaching the Lord for something material is actually, that's unintelligent. But Bali Maharaj is calling Vamanadeva as unintelligent because you are just asking for three steps of land. So we'll just discuss something about this concept of begging. So one class, Isulnas Radhanath Maharaj explained. He said that especially in the times of Vedic culture, it was considered the honorable thing for a Brahmana to beg for his food. But today, because of the corruption of the society, begging is considered to be the most dishonorable thing. Because you see, many unscrupulous people who have nothing to give, they take to the profession of begging simply for their sense gratification. Often because they are just too lazy to work. But in the times of Vedic culture, the Brahmanas were the hardest working people. But still, they were constantly endeavoring with great determination, performing sacrifice to teach people about the goal of life, etc. And when the Brahmanas would come to beg at your door, they were actually coming in the name of begging just to enlighten your household, just to give some chance to render some service to the Lord's devotees. So Gargacharya would come to meet Nanda Maharaj. Therefore, in the name of begging, you just come to enlighten us and penetrate our hearts with the truth and of the real goal of life. We remember in the, I think, 7th candidates explained about the professions of a Brahmana. First class, second class, third class, fourth class profession. A Brahmana, the highest profession is he does not even, he just accepts, he goes to the field where the grains are actually Silonchana, those verses are there. So Brahmana would not, even Raghunath Das Goswami was begging, but after some time he thought that by begging I am calculating, oh, this person is a good person, this person will give me, this person will not give me. And then he decided to just go to the marketplace where the desire to eat the rice which is left over by the Tilangana cows. In that sense, yeah, begging is considered a honorable thing. So many times we find, whenever there is a description of the scripture about a Brahmana, it would be mentioned that once upon a time there lived a poor Brahmana. So always the description would come like that. So one may wonder, why are the Brahmanas always poor? Is it a conscious choice or a continuous failure on their behalf to monetarily prosper? So there is a concept of inspired poverty and imposed poverty. Imposed poverty means what? Imposed poverty is that because of capitalism, it actually distributes wealth so unequally. So poverty is imposed upon many people. Capitalism, so many people talk about eradicating poverty, etc. But you can never eradicate poverty. You can only eradicate imposed poverty. You can never eradicate the inspired poverty. Because there will be some people who will be inspired to remain poor. They are the Brahmanas. Yeah, by the proper management, you can actually eradicate imposed poverty. But you can never eradicate the inspired poverty. Because thinking that I will eradicate all the poverty, that is also a wrong thing, because the nature of this world is there will be always diversity. There will be rich and poor. You can't eradicate the poor people only. Yeah, you can eradicate the imposed poverty, but not the inspired poverty. Because there are poor people, rich people can get the satisfaction of helping others, can get the satisfaction of giving charity. And the poor people can experience the emotion of gratitude by receiving help from others. So therefore, we have to understand this point, because many communists or many people, they need the social organization, they talk about eradicating poverty. So you have to understand the right. So Brahmanas, actually, they consciously choose to remain poor. They are inspired to remain as poor people. If you read the Dwaraka, every day Krishna was giving so much of charity to the Brahmanas. We wonder, that means there were people who were willing to accept charity, na, isn't it? So if Dwaraka is the abode of the Lord, then why poor people are there, one may wonder. In fact, if you read, there is one quality of Krishna in the 64 qualities, where Rupa Goswami gives the detail of how many cows he was giving charity every day. Some very big number. So that means that there were poor people there. One may wonder, how can there be poor people in the abode of the Lord? Now the point is that the Brahmanas, they are inspired to remain poor. So Brahmanas, why they are inspired to remain poor? Because Brahmanas represent knowledge. And knowledge is a liberating force which frees a person from bondage. If a Brahmana were to sell knowledge, then the knowledge would become purchasable. And if the knowledge can be bought, then a rich man would be greater than the knowledge. Money would become greater than the knowledge. So therefore, in order to preserve the purity of the knowledge, the Brahmanas would never sell the knowledge. That is why selling knowledge is considered a sin. So Vyasadeva, however, that's why it is explained, Prabhupada, time and again he condemns the professional Bhagavatam reciters. So, of course, somebody gives a dakshina as a gratitude, yeah, that a Brahmana may accept. Even that, whatever he needs, he would keep it. Whatever is not required, he would actually give away. But then demanding, okay, this much in charity. So that means that becomes actually making a livelihood based on that, demanding something, that is something wrong. So Vyasadeva, A true Brahmana prefers integrity over trading cognizance to a wrong and unqualified audience. So therefore, that Brahmana would prefer minimalism to maintain his independence rather than submit to the control of any system. Because if he becomes focused on money, then he would start selling the money, the knowledge to some unqualified person or some rich person. Then he would lose his independence. Yeah, he would have to speak according to that person. They would say, when you give class, make sure that these points are there. Like, you would have to speak according to that person. So Brahmana is not loyal to the people, he is loyal to the principles. He is loyal to the principles. So to be loyal to the principles means to never trade himself for fear of losing resources and maintain shelter. So that is why even after the Pandavas, when they lost everything in the gambling match, the Brahmanas like Daumya, they wanted to come along with the Pandavas. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, I can't actually maintain you, I can't do anything. But then they said, but we don't want to be there with Duryodhan. We don't want to be purchased by Duryodhan. So Duryodhan was a person who was actually purchasing people. But the Brahmanas like Daumya, they chose to be with Yudhishthira Maharaj, although he didn't have any resources in the forest. That is the real intellectuals. That means they never sell himself to others. But the modern intellectuals who write in newspaper reports, newspaper articles, they are actually selling themselves for the different political parties and different this thing. And such cheap intellectuals are condemned actually. So I will just take one more verse and then next verse. Mam vacho bis samaradhya lokanam ekam ishwaram padatrayam vriniteyo buddhiman dvipadashusham.
I am able to give you entire island because I am the proprietor of the three divisions of the universe. You have come to take something from me and have pleased me by your sweet words, but you are asking only three paces of land, therefore you are not very intelligent.
Napuman mam upavrajya bhuyo yachitu marhati tasmat vrittikarim bhumim vato kamam pratichyame.
O small boy, one who approaches me to beg something should not have to ask anything more anywhere. Therefore, if you wish, you may ask from me as much land as will suffice to maintain you according to your needs.
He is saying that if somebody asks from me, they should ask that much so that he doesn't have to ask from anybody else. So please ask sufficient, which will maintain you according to your needs. So Vamanadev speaks, these verses are very profound verses on satisfaction. We'll just read this verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Yavanto Vishaya Preshtas Yavanto Vishaya Preshtas Trilokya Majitendriyam Nashaknuvanti Te Sarve Prati Purayitum Drupa.
The personality of Godhead said, O my dear king, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled.
So he's saying that even if a person possesses everything in this world, it will not satisfy him if his senses are uncontrolled. What is the proof of this? Hiranyakashipu. What is that verse? Sa yittam nirjita kakub ekarat vishayan priyan Yatopa Josham Bunjanu Natrupyat Ajitendriyaha. So although Hiranyakashipu could enjoy all the sense objects and he as much as he wanted with all his full capacity, but still was dissatisfied because his senses were uncontrolled.
So Prabhupada's purport, I'll go through this purport. So Prabhupada first says that the purpose of life is self-realization and not sense gratification. Therefore, one should not be extremely anxious to get more and more things for sense gratification. That is why those who are addicted to sense gratification, they are advised to practice the yoga's Ashtanga yoga system. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, etc. And the result of considering sense gratification as the ultimate goal of life, that is described in Rishabhadev's instruction. Noonam pramatta krute vikarma yad indriya pritaya aprunoti na sadhu manye yata atmanoyam asan api kleshada asadeha. The result of considering sense gratification as aim of life is that a person indulges in vikarma, sinful activities, and a person undergoes repeated birth and death. So therefore, according to Rishabhadev, human beings in this material world are just like madmen engaged in activities which they should not perform, but which they do perform only for sense gratification. So purpose of the Vedic culture is the purpose of the Vedic culture, the Brahminical culture, it teaches us how to be satisfied with the minimum necessities of life. In order to teach this highest culture, Varnashram Dharma is recommended. So then he talks about Brahmachari Grahastha Vanapada Sannyasi. So Vamanadeva, being an ideal Brahmachari, refuses to Bali Maharaj offer to give him anything he might want. So therefore, Prabhupada explains that people should be taught how to be satisfied with only what they need. With only what they need. So therefore, Brahminical culture, Kshatriya culture and Vaishya culture must be maintained and people must be taught how to be satisfied with only what they need. But whereas in the modern culture, there is no such education. And then Prabhupada says the purpose of our farm communities is exactly this. To show people how to be happy and content with minimum necessities of life and to save time for self-realization, which can be achieved by chanting the holy names. So this very profound purport, we'll discuss more tomorrow, this purport also, that one should be, it is an important of the lifestyle of how to be satisfied with minimum and focus on self-realization. That is a very profound preaching set example for the farm community. So Vamanadeva is showing that ideal example as a brahmachari. So I'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki cha, Srila Prabhupada ki cha, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki cha.